MZTV.
Well, the new tripod has arrived. My camera is sitting on it right now, solid as a rock. Sorry for the lack of entertainment. The camera won't be popping off the tripod anytime soon, but we will find new sources of entertainment here at MZTV. We always do. I'm Martin Zender, your host, and we seek to learn more about God, His nature, His character, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His nature, His character. But as we do, you know, we try to make it enjoyable here, have a little fun, if we can. There's no reason why this should be a drudgery, learning about God and Christ. It should be a joy. It's a natural outflow of the Spirit of God inside of us. So welcome to the show, everyone. As I record this show on Sunday afternoon, the comments are still coming in about the AI presentation, the artificial intelligence podcast that was produced by Leonard Dean and brought to you by Rodney Paris and myself. Mostly overwhelmingly positive comments. I appreciate that. To those who are still reticent about using this technology, think about this. You are looking at me right now on your screen, on your television, on your phone, on your computer. But are you really looking at me? No, you're not. You're looking at a reproduction of me. Somehow my image has been broken down into zeros and ones, sent to a satellite, and redistributed to make this look very much like me. The same with my voice, but it's not me. Is this not already artificial intelligence? So maybe I'm being naive about this, but I don't think it's much different. God has given us this means of communication, and think of all the benefit we've all gotten from this particular brand of artificial intelligence. It's just being taken to the next level. This all started with television. Actually, it started with radio, breaking down people's voices, sending these voices across the air, reproducing them in a receiver. How the hell does that happen? And so I think that if this podcast called The Two Gospels that we produced yesterday, what if this brings the last member into the body of Christ? Because those fake people sure make a lot of sense. Then we should laud it. Someone said, and this was a great statement, Paul says, all is yours. All is yours. I'll quote the verse down here. I did a show of all the things Paul listed that are yours. But he sums it up at the end with all is yours, everything. So AI is ours. This technology was invented for us. The internet was invented for us. We're the most important things to God right now. We're the darlings of his heart. And we communicate because of this artificial intelligence. So fear not, little flock. God will use this for his glory. I would like to thank, and of course, Jax, thanks everyone who helped her during her time of trouble. I'm so happy at the response of the body of Christ, and Jax is too. I'm going to read her comment. Jax had to petition a local church for groceries. That's how bad things were getting, and I'm happy to report that the body of Christ and the love in the heart, the spirit of the body of Christ, will outperform any religious organization. We can't have our brothers and sisters resorting to the man-made institution. We are a living, vital organism. We help our own, and you have lived up to that. I'm thrilled. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is a testament. This is a testimony to how real this is. This is not just head knowledge. The things we learn about God and Christ, we put into practice. Not because we have to, but because we want to. That's the difference between law and grace. It's the difference between have to and want to. Listen to Jax. She said, Martin, the best thing you said at the beginning. Remember, if you're not aware that I spoke about this, you'll see it on Friday's show. And this was Jax's comment on yesterday's show. Martin, the best thing you said at the beginning was, I have labored in the Lord. It is joy to labor in Him, despite all the BS. That is the kindest thing you could say. If I have done all I could do and be remembered that I labored in the Lord, that is really all that matters. I'm thankful, but I'm thankful not just for the money help, which indeed helps. No, the kind things you said after that, that means the most to me. I have yet to labor as you and others have in the Lord, but by God, as long as I have breath, I will proclaim the good news and the truth. Thank you so much from my heart to yours, brother. He's talking to me there in particular, to encourage me to keep going. This wasn't just about money. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord knew I was ready to give up. Seriously. Quote, I was ready to give up. Seriously. Because of the outpouring, whether through money, note, or email. Either way, this has encouraged me to keep pressing on in faith with the evangel of good news. I can be broken, poor, hard-pressed, but the good news goes forth from my lips. Thank you. Grace and peace to you all. Jax. What a beautiful post here that should encourage every one of you, that this faith and the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts is real. It changed this woman's life. Did you hear that? She was ready to give up. And to make sure we know that's not a figure of speech, she said, seriously, you made the difference. You made the difference. Can you imagine that? You changed this woman's life. And I know that in small ways and in ways large, you bless everyone you come into contact with, because the Spirit of God makes its home in you, and we are an aroma of life to those tuned to the station of life. And so just one more time, this is just me, this is all me, my initiative. If anyone missed the opportunity to help Jax and you still want to, I will, for one more day, I'll put Jax's PayPal link below here. Because these problems don't go away quickly. And again, this woman is laboring in the Lord. You can hear the earnestness in her voice about that being the most important thing she or anyone else can do. But again, it's not, even if you're not actively heralding the word, keep in mind that in your interactions with everyone throughout your day, whether they are family, friends, or total strangers, we want to be living letters of Christ. This is not a challenge to you. This is not a Christian exhortation to bless other people or else. This is, to use one of the Apostle Paul's favorite words, this is letting the Spirit of God, letting the love of God shed abroad in your hearts overflow to the world. Just a small act of kindness to a mean person, just that, can change somebody's life. Whether that mean person is your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister or a total stranger. You know, and my dad, if I can share this real quick, my dad knew this. My dad was an unbeliever. He may have become a believer in the last 30 minutes of his life. I don't know. I preached the sermon of my life as my father was on his deathbed. We will see. But I'll never forget, we were playing ping pong in the basement after dinner one night. I was probably in my early teens, and my dad was a car salesman, damn good car salesman. And my dad would often use, he and I playing ping pong in the basement, to teach me life lessons. He never preached at me. And again, he didn't get his wisdom from the scriptures. It was just in him. And he told me, you know, when I'm trying to sell a car and a prospective buyer is being difficult and they start to raise their voice, my dad said, the first thing I do is I start to talk more quietly. I start to lower my voice. I mean, I'll never forget these words. He says, and before long, as I continued to lower my voice, the person who was angry and raising their voice lowers their voice. See, my dad was a peacemaker. He didn't know the verse, a soft answer turns away wrath. He did not know that verse. But he, by nature, did the things that the law of Moses demanded, but he didn't do it through law. He didn't even do it through reading of the scripture. He did it through whatever amount of the Spirit of God was in him. And I learned many life lessons like that from my dad. My dad is dead. My mom is dead. But I can't wait to see these people again. And they made me who I am. If you like me, it's because of my mom and dad. I am so sorrowful that many of you have had terrible childhoods. I've heard nightmare stories. I was so naive growing up. I had many shocks ahead of me because I thought everybody was like me. I thought everybody was raised in a family like I was raised in, playing board games after dinner or playing ping pong with my dad, or my mom driving me to drum lessons, teaching me card tricks. I thought everybody was like that, taking family vacations together every summer. I can't remember an evening where we did not eat at the family table. I mean, it was right off the cover of a Saturday Evening Post. And I'll say it again, if you like me, if there's anything about me that you like, it's because of my parents. Of course, it's God working through my parents, even though they were not believers. So, the title of this show is Aeonian Life and Immortality, or As Close as Our Next Breath. We had two questions on Friday's show. I'm telling you, if you people keep asking great questions, I'm going to keep answering them in relation to this subject of Aeonian life. I meant to say this on one of the shows last week, that the scriptures never promise eternal life to anyone. The phrase eternal life never appears in a properly translated scripture. It screws up the whole plan of the eons to import eternity into places where it doesn't belong, such as in front of words like punishment and judgment and death and sin. No, all these things are aeonian. They only last for a certain amount of time. Somebody might panic out there who was hearing this for the first time. Are you saying I don't live forever? You do live forever, but not because of the word eternal, because the word eternal never appears in the scriptures, not once. It's the word aeonian, the adjective form of the noun ion, or the English translation thereof, eon. Words that appear over 175 times in the Greek scriptures, the New Testament, but that have been lost because of translation faux pas, major translation screw-ups. So you have to dig to find this beautiful truth. No, you live forever because of a great word, immortality. Immortality. This mortal, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, must put on immortality. It's immortality, not dying, undie. I'll put the Greek word down here. It's that assures that you will live forever. That's the word you go to. That's the word you need, and that's the word you've got. God gave us that word. So let me read these questions by these sisters. Linda Morse, shout out to Linda. She writes this question. What happens to the unbelievers who ended up in the tribulation but turned into believers during that time and are now believers, and then they die during this time? I just love this because it takes a certain amount of scriptural and spiritual intelligence to find these gray areas. Like, what about these people? It also shows me this, the care for these other people. Christians are worried here, they're worried about one thing. Am I going to heaven? Am I going to heaven? But the body of Christ cares for the entire human race. And the fate of the entire human race does not depend ultimately on whether we can connect with them or not. A life without end for the entire human race depends on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Let me continue. So, the concern here is unbelievers who enter the tribulation, we've already been snatched away, but then these unbelievers turn into believers during the tribulation, and there are now believers, but then they die during this time. Do they go to aeonian life at the time of their death? Or is aeonian life just for us alive at the time of the snatching away? And a follow-up here, is aeonian life a one-time deal occurrence? And why do the apostles have to wait for their life on the new earth? What am I missing here? All right, I'm going to address every point of that. But listen to this. I'm so fascinated by this. J.K. Bell, independent of Linda Morse, asks the following question. Listen to this. Good morning, BOC, Body of Christ. I can help some for Jax. I do have a quick question for Martin or anybody else who can answer this. Okay, so we know that only the body of Christ is snatched away and our inheritance is among the celestials, beginning with the snatching away itself. However, those of the circumcision who are mainstream Christians now, i.e. unbelievers, and survive, maybe are awakened during the tribulation to the error they were in. Will they have the aeonian life if they go through the circumcision gospel and endure to the end? This is almost exactly the question that Linda had. This just shows me the common mind of the body of Christ. Why shouldn't we have a common mind? Because our head is Christ. We have the same head. The head of the body is Christ, and he supplies us. He choreographs the body of Christ in this beautiful dance between believers, and here's evidence of it. Or I guess, back to J.K. Bell, or I guess my other question is, if they die during the plagues and the other stuff that will be happening, will they just not live until after the Great White Throne Judgment? Amazing. Okay, let's go back to Linda Morse, and I'll answer it. I'll take this one point at a time. What happens to the unbelievers who ended up in the tribulation but turned into believers during that time and are now believers, and then they die during this time? Or let's say they don't die. Okay, as you know, I teach that we're surrounded by natural-born Israelites, and probably most of Christians are actually remnants from the lost 10 tribes of Israel. In other words, they have an antenna for the circumcision gospel. They don't get Paul at all. You talk Paul to them, it's like talking a foreign language to them. They don't understand any of Paul. But whenever you start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, their antennas go up. They love it. They love James. They love Hebrews. They love all things. They love the law. They love all things belonging to the circumcision. And during the tribulation, they will be awakened. There's a vast group of people. Read Ezekiel 37 and 38 concerning the house of Israel. The Valley of Dry Bones, that's what I'm talking about. The prophecy from Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones. The Spirit of God is going to blow on these people, just like the Spirit of God came in the upper room to the 12 apostles, and they are going to get it. They are going to be awakened. They can't be in the body of Christ. That's done. The body of Christ has already been snatched away. So now we're dealing completely with Israel. And they're now awake. They are now part of the new covenant. This is the coming of the new covenant. The new covenant will come to human beings during the tribulation. Well, we know that there's 144,000 from 12,000 from every tribe of Israel. Only God knows where they are, but they're alive now. Of course, there are 144,000 who will be, if they're not already, and they probably aren't, who will be awakened during the tribulation. And who was it here? These questions are so similar. Who said they endure to the end? That was J.K. Bell. Will they have aeonian life if they go through the circumcision gospel and endure to the end? Yes, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And many people are going to be killed, martyred. Many of these people who become believers during the tribulation will be martyred. And so they must then be raised from the dead, but they won't be raised at the great white throne. They'll be raised at the return of Christ, right along with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the apostles, the patriarchs, all the faithful of Israel. They will be raised at the return of Christ. So it's not so hard to see how, if someone dies, that they're raised from the dead. It's not difficult to see that immortality would come to those believers at that time, because it's such a radical change anyway, being changed from death to life. And yet Paul tells us that we, members of the body of Christ, who remain alive to the return of Christ for the body of Christ, this happens before Christ returns to the earth for Israel, we know that we will not die and we will be changed on our feet. And it's more of a stretch of credulity to think that living people can be transformed in an atomos, in an uncut moment of time, in the tossing of an eye, and be made immortal while they stand on their feet. But that's exactly what's going to happen to us. We will be made immortal when the Lord comes for us at the snatching away. Now, these Israel believers, even the 144,000, I don't believe that when they're awakened, I don't believe that that is the moment they are made immortal. They are sealed and they go through the day of indignation, and they will survive to the return of Christ as Christ descends from heaven, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives as he promised he would do. It's at that time that they will receive, boom, immortality. Boom, aeonian life. Instant. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, what about those who die? Well, it's a lot easier to see that if any faithful Israelite goes through the tribulation, well, doesn't quite make it through the tribulation, if they are martyred, then at the resurrection, as they rise from the dead with David and the apostles and the patriarchs, they will get aeonian life and immortality at that time. So whether these people survive the tribulation or don't, aeonian life is imparted, and immortality at the same time is imparted to believers at the return of Christ, whether to the living or the dead. And you may say, well, how is a living person who survives the tribulation and is possibly standing at the Mount of Olives to watch Jesus Christ descend to the earth, how is that person going to receive immortality and aeonian life in a moment? I don't know. How are we going to do it? God's just going to do it. The wind's going to blow, and we will be changed in an instant. You see? An instant. Atomos, that's the word in the Greek. Atomos, it's an uncut period of time. Shortest time possible. They will be changed just like we will. So no, Linda, the Aeonian life is not just for us who are alive at the time of the snatching away. It is for them too. No, it's not a one-time deal or a one-time occurrence, because the Israel saints will also get it. But again, they have to endure to the end. We don't even have to endure. We're going to be changed simply because of the grace, the transcendent grace of God. The last question that Linda has here, and why do the apostles have to wait for their life on the new earth? Okay, the new earth now, Linda's jumping over the millennium into Aeon 5. The millennium's Aeon 4, Aeon 5. Why do the apostles have to wait for their life on the new earth? Well, they just do. They're going to fulfill their role on this earth during the millennium for 1,000 years, and then they will be transferred to the new earth. How will they be transferred to the new earth? I don't know. Shuttle bus? I don't know. It doesn't say. Scripture doesn't say. But God will take care of that. J.K. Bell says, I guess my other question is, if they die during the plagues, will they just not live until after the Great White Throne Judgment? Oh, no. No, no. If they're believers, they will live way before the Great White Throne Judgment, 1,000 years before the Great White Throne Judgment at the return of Christ. So, to come full circle and return to the title of this show, Aeonian Life and Immortality Are as Close as Our Next Breath, I stand by that statement. We are going to be changed in an atomos at the last trump. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Get it? The last trump. What time is it now? Okay. What's the date? Monday, January 20th. Okay. Like us, there will be some alive who have made it through the tribulation, who will witness the Lord descending to the Mount of Olives. And at that time, they will be made immortal in an instant and given Aeonian life in an instant, just like us. And for those who have died during the tribulation, a little inconvenience, but no problem to God, they will be raised from the dead and given immortality and Aeonian life at that time. Aeonian life is a special gift. It applies to believers who are made immortal, whether they're circumcision saints who will remain on earth. Oh, the circumcision saints. They will be changed, but they're not going up in the air like we are. Being changed in an instant and being made immortal in an instant doesn't require one to go in the air. Now, it's two different operations. One for the body of Christ, we're snatched away to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, because our destiny is the celestial realm, where we will reconcile the celestials to God. Israel's realm is on the earth. They will reconcile the earth. So just because they're changed and given immortality at that time doesn't mean they're going anywhere. They're not, but they're still made immortal. Oh, it is a beautiful plan of God. It's streamlined. It's not a mystery. It was a secret until Paul gave us all the answers and we put it all together. And this is what we get.